Hey everyone, welcome to episode 6 of For Fat Girl, your ultimate podcast on body positivity, fat liberation and the anti-diet culture message. My name is Danit Samarjanovic and I will be your host today. You can find me most active over on my Instagram at lovefromdanitsa, Twitter at lovefromdanitsa with two A's at the end, and to show your support of the podcast and my online work alongside exclusive weekly body positive videos and bonus episodes of the podcast, then you can go and sign up to my Patreon, www.patreon.com/lovefromdanitsa. Thank you to the lovely Bex Alice over on Instagram at Bex_Alice_ for our amazing intro music that will be featured on the podcast every week. With that being said, thank you so much for tuning in and let's get on with the episode. So hi everyone, hi, how are you? I hope you're doing really well. Welcome to episode 6 of For Fat Girl. Episode 6, that's crazy. Sorry, I'm just trying to get up my notes here. Hope everyone's had a really lovely week. I'm recording this on Monday, so it's Monday the 4th of June, exactly 1 month until my birthday. I was born on the 4th of July, 1993. Wow, I kind of hesitated there. But yeah, 1 month exactly until my 25th birthday. Feels weird turning 25, but also I feel like it feels weird and then it feels like appropriate, like you feel like you're ready to become 1 year older. That's the case for me anyway. But I hope you guys are doing really well. Again, I always feel like I want to mention this because I genuinely am so grateful, but just thank you so much for all the love and support. Every week I get such nice messages and posts of people enjoying the podcast, and I'm just so pleased that people actually care about the shit that I talk about and the stuff that comes out of my mouth, because I don't know, I think everyone's like their own worst critic, and sometimes I just doubt whether anyone actually has like any care to listen to what I've got to say, but obviously you guys do, which is amazing, so thanks very much. Currently recording in my bedroom. I've got the worst period cramps, and I was gonna say known to man there, but no man would ever know the pain of period cramps, so not known to man, but known to women. Worst period cramps known to women. So I am sat in my bed. I've got like two big fluffy cushions, pillows behind my back. I've got like two pillows on my lap. I've got my microphone and my laptop on top of me, and I'm just trying to make myself as comfy as possible. It's a really mild day today in Belfast. It looks like it's about to piss down, but it's also really, really mild. So that's just a little weather update if you guys are interested. But I've got a few set topics that I really want to talk about today, and I've also got my first listener question, which I'm really excited to answer, because I posted over on my Instagram that I want you guys to email me your questions, which if you're listening now and you have got a burning question that you want me to answer, then by all means write in to me at lovefromdanitsa@gmail.com. You can be as in detail, you can write a letter, you can write, you know, it doesn't have to be like a sentence question, it can just be something that you want to go into detail and you want me to answer on the podcast. So those will be mentioned in every podcast each week. So this week's question, let me just get it up. I'm not very organized right now. So I got a lovely email off Haley or Halle, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce that, H-A-L-L-I-E, and they have wrote, "Hi Danitsa, I'm 18 years old and insecure about my upper arms and legs. Do you have any tips to feel more confident in summer clothes, shorts, tank tops, dresses? Every time I put on a tank top or shorts while getting ready, I change right before I leave because I feel uncomfortable. P.S. You are my favourite body positive account, Haley." Thank you so much. That was such a sweet message, and I just love getting messages. It really makes me happy, and you were my first, so I really hope you enjoy hearing the question, and thank you for being so honest and opening up, because I know it's not easy and it takes a lot for people. And by all means, if you want to be anonymous, just make sure to either state in the email, or you don't have to write your name or anything. So you're feeling insecure about your upper arms and your upper legs, and I just want to say firstly that how amazing you are for even acknowledging about that about yourself, because you know, self-hatred towards yourself is such a horrible, shameful thing. And you're only 18, and I remember being 18 and just being so insecure myself. So you are really not alone, and never forget that. You know, we live in a society that has conditioned you into thinking like that, so it is not your fault, and it is purely just the result of what we've been taught online and in media and everything. So do you have any tips to feel more confident in summer clothes? So definitely, like, I would still struggle with like summer clothes and stuff like that, and with the heat and everything. You want to be as comfortable physically, but it's hard when you're not comfortable mentally. So I would just make sure that you have really kind of like prepared your mind as much as possible before you go outside. So for me, I always just make sure that I have been like listening to like body positive podcasts. I've been kind of like trying to condition myself as much as possible, on my self-esteem as much as possible, to view myself in the most positive way. And I just feel by even like surrounding myself mentally with such positive things online, I'm really helping myself, because then I've got that information to take away with me when I decide to go outside. So definitely by kind of like keeping yourself up to date with like positive posts on Instagram as much as possible, and just kind of like hyping yourself up a little bit by looking at different accounts and seeing different accounts that have similar bodies to you, and seeing how they are when they are dressed, definitely gives me a lot of confidence. So you know, if I'm feeling like I would feel insecure about the tops of my arms as well, so I would go on to accounts of people that I feel have similar body types to me, and I would look at their stuff and I would see how beautiful they were and confident they looked, and it would give me the confidence as well to try it. I would also try and remember as much as possible that you are allowed to wear whatever the fuck you want, regardless of your size. You are under no obligation to dress for the appeal and comfort of other people, meaning you are not on this earth to dress to make other people feel comfortable. And if anyone, which I doubt would happen because people are cowards essentially, but if anyone did have the nerve to say anything to you, you have the right to literally tell them to fuck right off, because that is just a massive projection onto them, and let them stare and let them get uncomfortable and let their own self-hatred project onto you. And you just keep your pride and keep your composure and remember how much of a babe you are and how much you are worthy of going about your day wearing whatever the fuck you want, living a free life, doing whatever you want, enjoying the weather with your friends or family. And it is not your responsibility as existence on earth to wear things to make other people more comfortable or not threaten them as much. Their issues are on them, and it's not your duty to dress to make society feel less threatened. So if you showing your beautiful upper arms and your thighs is threatening to people, then that's on them, and you just leave that up to them. And just really remember that it's anyone that looks at you, or you know, like I would get like stares, and especially when I'm eating in public or when I'm wearing something that people or society would deem not flattering, quote unquote, for someone of my size. I just really remember that those people who are able to judge me judge themselves twice as hard, and that's not what a happy person does. So you just leave them to it and you carry on your life with your head held high. And trust me, I know how hard it is when you're 18, 17, 18, 16. That is such like a crucial age to kind of like self-growth. You're going through like loads of like different changes if you're deciding to go to uni or like stay at home, or you know, friendships are being tested and all this shit, and it's such a challenging time. And the fact that you have like reached out to me and the fact that you are up to date with body positive accounts is actually really, really hopeful for me, because at 18 I hadn't a fucking clue about self-care, let alone body positive movement. So the fact that you are able to reach out and like self-analyze yourself and your situation just really screams to me that you have so much potential to learning to love yourself. So I would give yourself like a massive pat on the back for you know, self-awareness, because self-awareness is literally like half of the problem. So yeah, I think you're doing great, and don't beat yourself up too much. You know, I think one of the misconceptions about body positivity or self-care or body confidence journeys is that we are expected to be 100% confident all the time. No, of course, like I'm having a bit of a shitty self-esteem day today, actually. Like I'm pretty sure I'm coming on my period. I've got really bad period cramps. It's like really mild, sticky weather in the UK at the minute. I'm insecure myself about wearing certain things. Like this is the first proper summer that I'm actually dressing in whatever the fuck I want. Usually I would have like covered up and been absolutely sweating in this weather, and I'm just not putting myself through it. So I'm absolutely with you. And honestly, the best kind of like practical advice alongside like conditioning yourself to changing your mentality, the kind of most physical act that I can give you is to literally just like scroll on your phone and fill your feed on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or whatever you like to look at, or whatever, wherever you're most active, to be of women or men or whoever that really inspire you, because seeing someone else in a figure that is very similar to yours like is revolutionary towards self-acceptance, because we normally view ourselves and our bodies, especially if they are of larger bodies, to be like unable to achieve things. And then when we see these like amazing fat babes like achieving like yoga and like these amazing handstands, or like becoming like performers or dancers, and like they look absolutely incredible, we start to think like, I can fucking do that. Like she is my size, if not like bigger, and she looks fucking amazing, and like she is living her best life. So that's kind of like the best advice I would give to anyone who is wanting something that's actually practically going to help them get themselves out of self-doubt. So I really hope I answered your question for you. Again, thank you so much for messaging me, and anyone else who wants their questions answered in next week's episode, don't forget to email me at lovefromdanitsa@gmail.com for a chance to get your question answered. So moving on to the actual topic of this week, I recently posted on Instagram regarding a status that I'd done about unemployment due to mental health issues, and how being unemployed due to mental health issues is not quote unquote the easy way out of dealing with life or dealing with problems. And I feel like this is a topic really close to my heart anyway, and also extremely relatable to a lot of people, because as we know, mental illness is 1 in 3 people in the UK, and there is a hell of a lot of people who are unemployed due to mental health issues who face a daily unbearable amount of shame and guilt because of this. And it's all got to do with the stigma regarding mental health. And I just really wanted to talk about my experiences with this, because I had like a massive, like, excuse me, that was my my chest. I had a really massive reaction to this on my post, really positive, like of people saying thank you so much for this reminder. I battle with shame and guilt from like family or friends or co-workers for either being unemployed or like, you know, having to take some time out of work due to mental health issues. And it's just such a shame how much stigma there is amongst the workforce. Definitely because I feel that society puts working hard, quote unquote, whatever that means, and productivity into someone's moral worth. And definitely I'm starting to really understand that there is like a lot of like moral worth issues in society, that, you know, there's a way that we can deem someone morally worthy by how they either look or how they choose to live their life. And it definitely comes into the whole kind of like superior mentality, the egos, people thinking that they're better than people. And I really just, I'm not about that life. And I'm going to do everything I can to raise awareness, because I have firsthand faced, you wouldn't even want to know the prejudice and the discrimination I've faced for being mentally ill amongst the workforce, and the behavior and the treatment that I got because of this. And I'm going to go into detail explaining my experiences, because I know it's so crucial to help people out. And even just hearing a story that's similar to someone else's, I know myself how amazing that is for just not feeling alone. Anyone who is battling with mental health issues already feels isolated, let alone when the added shame and guilt is put on top of them. Of course they're going to feel even more of that. So yeah, that's definitely something that I'm really passionate about. And you know, I remember the first time I first of all, I was taken out of work last year on leave because of trauma that was happening in my life and my crumbling mental health that was becoming more and more severe. So I went off work because of that. So I took sick leave, just the same as anyone who would take sick leave if they had broken their foot, if they had broken their arm, if they had been in hospital for any other severe illness. I did exactly the same, except mine was getting worse and worse. And the treatment that I had from my ex-employers in Manchester was absolutely fucking disgusting. The treatment from the other people who worked in the store that I worked in, the judgment, the outright questions of laziness and just slacking in my job and making excuses, just kind of like heightened how fucking cruel and ignorant people can be when it comes to mental health, and how it's not seen as a significant reason to have to stop working. Because ultimately, let's be honest, mental health is still not seen as something important enough. We still have to keep saying that we have to be heard. We have to keep telling people that, you know, this is legit. You know, people die from mental health issues. You know, mortality rates from suicide is so prevalent in this country, let alone Northern Ireland for males. Northern Ireland is the capital of male suicide in Europe, which I think is very disturbing. And just kind of like the whole stigma around having to prove that you're struggling, especially when it comes to co-workers and the workplace, it shouldn't be that difficult. Because, you know, can you imagine not being believed and having to deal with your own shit on top of that, of feeling worthless, feeling like you don't want to be here anymore, feeling like you're a burden already, and to have the extra shame of people outright saying, well, yeah, we don't believe you, you're just lazy and you don't want to do the work. Can you imagine how that must feel to people who are really, really struggling? And it's disgusting. And I remember having to say that to my employers, and the judgment I got of people was absolutely disgusting. And I remember this one girl who just had it, you know, like that one person that just like has it out for you from the first day. She took a massive disliking to me. I'm pretty sure it had something to do with being from Northern Ireland, and she had like connections with like the British Army and like, you know, like shit like that. which is completely irrelevant because I have no issue with working amongst people of different backgrounds, but she clearly did anyway. So she just had it out for me, and I remember a day that was kind of like the pivotal moment of me then actually having to quit my job and move home to Ireland, because it was like one of the most traumatic days of my life, which has now put me into therapy and medication for over a year. I was having a panic attack in work, like a severe panic attack. My manager put me into this tiny, we had this tiny box room of a store cupboard behind where we worked, and I don't know what kind of like health and safety advice she got in manager training, but when someone is having a panic attack, you do not put them in a small hot cupboard and start talking to them about how this is not acceptable in the workforce. You just don't do it. I don't know if that's kind of obvious, or she didn't really understand the severity, but you know, I was in the midst of hyperventilating, not being able to speak. Anyone who has panic attacks themselves will know how scary the experience is. So to be locked in a cupboard, not locked, but trapped in a cupboard with a very intimidating manager telling you how much this is affecting your performance and work, it's not really what you want to hear when you've just faced something very traumatic. So I was saying that I wanted to go home. And this other girl who had it out for me wasn't my manager, but she was kind of like management of other counter. Basically was just kind of like looking me up and down, silently judging me, being like, oh, I suppose it's not that bad, just stay till the end of the shift, despite me kind of like explaining my distress. And I just thought it was so rich coming from her, considering about a week or two before the incident, she had come into work after having her lips injected with filler, and she started crying in work because her lips hurt, and she was sent home early by higher management. And she completely, you know, in the store cupboard, crying her eyes out at how sore her lips were for self-inflicting plastic surgery on herself and then having to go home early. And I just, like, there was other occasions that kind of like summed up her type of character to me, and she was honestly the most vile person I've ever met in my life, obviously with a true self-hatred issue with herself. But I just remember thinking, like, I should not have to be going through this to fucking justify what has happened to me, like literally just dealing with something that has probably been the most traumatic experience of my entire life, and I'm having to fight for who the fuck is she, but I'm having to fight for her to believe me, to just give me a rest and let me go home without any hassle. And in the end, I just walked out. I didn't fucking care. I think, like, when situations happen that are so like damaging towards yourself, everything that is just so unimportant goes out the window, and I just walked out. It was just me on the counter, no one else was there to cover. I just walked out. I was fucking done with working in that horrible place, and I couldn't give two fucks if I never seen the place again. And it was actually a really empowering moment, because I felt like a prisoner to that place. It was horrible, and it was just like, you know, anywhere that you're going to have a traumatic experience, you know, maybe work isn't going to be the most comforting, but that particular place was kind of like the worst surroundings I could have been in when it happened, because the people that I was surrounded with in the workplace were kind of just like the polar opposite of comforting, normal good people. They were actually kind of like out to get me. So that was kind of like the first place that I experienced, sorry, that wasn't the first place, that was one of the places that I experienced kind of like discrimination against my mental health regarding leaving work. And I remember the weeks following when I booked, you know, when I moved back to Ireland, and I was going through some of, if not the darkest times of my entire life. Suicide thoughts, getting myself into therapy. I was in a very, very dark place, and it was really, really stressful in my family. And I remember I didn't, because I just thought this is a load of shit, but I was asked/told that I would have to keep my area manager weekly updates of how I was feeling/when did I think I was coming back to work, even though I had painted it out to her, I had said to her, and I had got a doctor's note explaining the severity of the situation. I had a phone call with her. She knew how bad it was. I told her the extent of feeling suicidal, having to go into therapy. And it was all that load of like, oh, that must be, you know, really difficult, but when are you coming back to work? And I know people have a job to do, but I just feel like either they have to learn to be more sensitive, which I think is a very, very slim chance with, you know, I was working for the leading multi-billion makeup company that owns majority of makeup companies. Do you think they're going to be sympathetic over my trauma? No, of course they're not. So in that case, I had to take it upon myself to be like, go fuck yourselves. I'm going to deal with this by myself, and I really don't care if you give me sympathy or not, or at least just kind of like some basic human respect over what I'm going through, human to human. And yeah, I just told them like, no, not coming back. This is so much more important than money and having an egotistical reputation for working at a makeup counter. So that was probably the worst treatment I've ever got. But I also did face discrimination for my mental health when I was in university. And I don't want to say, it was still really shit. I feel like the treatment I got in my makeup counter in Manchester was just gross. But the treatment I got in my university in Liverpool was disgusting as well. Especially by this one woman who was kind of like, I don't know if anyone else had this in their university, but you get like assigned a tutor who is like one of your lecturers, who is meant to be someone that you can confide in if you are having issues, kind of even personal, that is affecting your performance in university. And I think I've mentioned this before in a podcast, but when I was in my second uni in Liverpool, when I was studying media production, I was going through hell with my eating disorder recovery. I wasn't actually in recovery yet. I was just coming out. I just started veganism/ in my first year of uni, was still doing low carb. And I was having a really fucked up time with my eating, and my depression was really, really starting to get bad. And I did well in my first year, because, you know, I had this adrenaline rush to really like make sure that I was not going to mess up my second attempt at university. But I hadn't made the connection that the reason that I messed up my first year of my first uni in London was because of not getting treatment, or not even realizing that I had really severe mental health issues, let alone an eating disorder. So as you can imagine, the first year of Liverpool went well, but because I hadn't had any treatment of what the actual problem was, they were creeping up on me again, and it happened even twice as bad as the experience I had in London. So yeah, I just was getting like really badly depressed. I wasn't going into uni. I don't actually like education. It doesn't sit with, regardless of mental health issues or not, it doesn't sit with the type of person that I am. I'm a very practical learner. I find it very difficult to understand like reading and essay writing. I'm like creative. I'm practical learner. I like to work and earn money, and if I don't get on with the people or find people challenging, I just can't spend that much time with them because it will literally drain the life out of me. So if you can imagine, that's what I'm like without added mental health issues. You will kind of understand the severity of what I was going through with depression, with an undiagnosed eating disorder. It was pretty fucked up. So this one occasion, like, I had been going back into like the head of department's office back and forth. Like, they hated me, I hated them. They were a really shitty department, really obnoxious fucking ex-BBC workers, really really fucking rude. They didn't like me from the start. You know, I had really difficult time with my peers because I was going into uni a lot older than them. They were just still little immature fucks coming out of secondary school, never left mummy and daddy until now, and they were just so fucking immature and difficult that they just see me as this like big bad person who didn't want to integrate. And I didn't want to integrate with like little immature fucks like them, but they were just so petty and immature. And I remember my YouTube channel got pulled up by the department because I was doing a group this is so funny, this isn't like the bad experience with mental health, but it just kind of like gives you an idea of like the relationship between me and my uni course. So I was like quite active with my YouTube channel at this time. It was doing quite well. And, you know, I would do daily vlogging. So I was doing a group project and I was vlogging it. And it wasn't getting in the way of my performance on set. But the girls in my group project, hands up if you fucking hate group work with a passion. The girls in my group were really kind of like stuck up and, you know, I just think they didn't like the fact that I had a, you know, semi-successful YouTube channel, and they just wanted to make my life difficult regardless of how much of a good worker I was. And I was very good at media production, the practical side. I knew my shit. I knew my camera equipment and my angles and my director's choice because of how much work I'd done outside with my YouTube channel and working on video content in my own time. So I wasn't a slacker. I had a lot of creative ideas that they happily used, but then were able to discredit me because I was vlogging on set. So this turned out to them reporting my YouTube channel for a video I put up, basically not naming any names, but venting at the frustration that I had with my uni course, because one, I'm allowed to do that, and two, I'm allowed to self-express. And it wasn't mentioning anyone's names, it wasn't mentioning the course or even the name of the fucking university. And they watched it and they brought it up to the department, and I wasn't notified. I was brought in without being told what was happening. It was very very sketchy. So I was told to come to an office one day after. And I was basically trapped in a room with all the girls from my group and all the head of departments in a fucking interrogation of my YouTube channel and how damaging it was. And they had even fucking brought in the uni counselor to kind of deal with all this. And so they basically tricked me into this meeting. And I remember being like, what the fuck is going on? Never trick me into a meeting and expect me to fucking speak up. So long story short, I got up and said, you can all go fuck yourself. Do not trick me into an interrogation office. I am, you know, a woman. I'm not a fucking child in school. And I got up and I walked out. And they all were like frothing at the mouth, like, oh my god, I can't believe you just did that. And it was like, it's difficult to explain, but I feel like, well, especially my university, the lecturers treated the students like children. And half of me doesn't blame them, because literally 90% of my course were still children. But at the same time, university is adult to adult. We are grown-ups. We are men and women. And in my mind, I was not going to be spoken to. Like, I was still in primary school. So that's where we clashed. And that's where my issues with the lecturers happened, and it was because I spoke my mind and I spoke up, excuse me, and they weren't used to it, and they were used to being able to boss people around and treat them like shit. So the one lecturer that I had, like, well, I had two, they were both females, I had like the most issues with. One of them was given the position of being like my personal tutor, who I was meant to be able to trust and be able to go to if I had any problems. And like I was saying, I was having a lot of problems, and I went to her one day. I don't know what the moment of madness was going on with me, but I think it must have been that I was so desperate to talk to someone that I just chose her, even though I knew she was a bitch. So I went to her, and it came out that, you know, she was being kind of like half decent with me, but still kind of on guard. And we were in this kind of like small office room, and I was saying to her that I had like issues with my eating. And this was like my first ever time coming out to anyone that I thought I had issues with my eating. This was the first person I had ever said, like, properly, other than the first time I went to a doctor's a couple of years before that completely got me shut down. But this was the first time I was openly understanding it myself and wanted to vocalize to someone that I think it was having effect on my mental health. And it came out that this tutor had suffered slash still suffered with anorexia herself. And she was like a good age. She was like 50, 55, 56. And I remember when she said that, it connected with me, because a few times she hadn't turned up for lectures because she had supposedly fainted or something like that. And I just remember thinking, God, that is extreme. But then when she told me that she had slash, well, she didn't say, she still was, but you know how it is, was dealing with anorexia, it kind of like connected to me. So there's me thinking, oh, maybe she isn't so bad, maybe she's just, you know, got shit on her plate, and you know, that kind of maybe explains her actions. And the conversation went on further, and you know, I started getting really upset. As you can imagine, this is my first time properly, you know, taking it upon myself. And it's such a weird, like, shameful, embarrassing feeling. I don't know why, but it just is, telling someone that you're struggling. If anyone has been through it themselves, you will know fine rightly that, I don't know, I'm like a really confident, open person normally, but when it comes to things like that, I just turned into like a little, you know, bunny in headlights, and I just, you know, couldn't get the words out of my mouth. So I started having a panic attack. It was really bad. And then she obviously, you know, realized and was like, she was actually being helpful with the panic attack, and, you know, telling me to breathe and everything, which was at least okay. But before I got the words out of my mouth that I, what kind of eating disorder I thought I had, which was undiagnosed anorexia, I was kind of hyperventilating and going, you know, I have eating issues, and that's kind of all I could get out. And she jumped down my throat and said, you binge eat, don't you? You know, you overeat. And, you know, for someone who was in the midst of anorexia, you have a very twisted, fucked up core belief about your body size and your body image anyway. So for people to assume that you overeat is automatically connected with fatness. So for someone to jumped on my throat, who has anorexia themselves and knows how sensitive you should be when making, you know, generalized comments like that, assumption comments like that, to someone else who you don't know what kind of eating disorder they have, I thought was so irresponsible and disgusting. And it's probably like one of the worst things you can say to an anorexic, because for months after, all I took that as in was, she obviously thought that because I'm not skinny enough to be seen as anorexic. So of course people just assume that if I have an eating disorder, it's because I'm fat and I overeat. And also now I'm able to understand, like, in that mentality I was still very unwell, so I assumed fatness with overeating, which I know now obviously that you can be skinny and bingy, you know, it has nothing to do with body size, and you can be fat and anorexic and all the rest of it. But you know, in that kind of like early stages, very basic understanding of myself and like eating disorders altogether, and in an unwell mind as well, that's how I viewed it. And I just remember thinking, like, you can all go fuck yourself, like, this is such a shamble of a department, you should be ashamed of your treatment of like mentally ill people. It was just ridiculous. And like, I did get referred to the uni counselor, which FYI isn't really a counselor, it's a woman who sits and listens to your problems and then gives like a really fucking half-arsed reply, and it was just an absolute joke. So that is kind of like the worst of my experiences with treatment in like institutions or like the workplace with mental health. So I'd be really interested to hear what you guys thought of that, or like what your experiences with mental illness is, and like, you know, the effects of, you know, people's judgment. And I have got messages from a lot of people saying they're like really struggling with like the kind of like silent judgment or vocal judgment even of family members, and or even friends, could you even call them real friends, but people that they consider their friends being very judgmental towards them not being in work due to mental health issues. And like, I'm in the same boat now, like I have a father who is extremely heavily into work ethic from his Bosnian culture, and explaining to him that I'm out of work because I'm depressed, it just doesn't, you know, connect in his Bosnian brain, because it's just not seen as something that is, you know, not an excuse but a valid reason for being unemployed. Like, depression to him, mental illness to him, is just laziness, and it's just not being able to cope or not having a hard skin or not working enough. So he believes that it's all connected with me not being into work, even though it was full-time work in a really shit environment that was one of the strongest contributing factors to the reason I'm not into work in work now. So definitely have experienced firsthand the difficulties of shame and guilt towards not working, and even like people that mean well but then also get frustrated that you never have money to meet up and everything. Like, fucking tell me about it. I know I'm skin and I can't do things with people a lot of the time because I just haven't got the funds, and I feel like I'm constantly having to defend myself why I don't have money, even though it's very, very aware that I struggle to go about my everyday life, let alone hold down a part-time job. So it's that kind of constant effort to justify your right to be mentally ill without judgment. Whereas, you know, if I was going through a terminal illness, touch wood that never happened, such as like cancer or anything like that, no one would fucking even dare to pass judgment on why I'm not in work. Do you know what I mean? The level of double standards when it comes to mental illness is there, and people need to fucking realize it and to own up to the behavior that they're causing, that is causing the stigma, whether you realize it or not, or whether you aren't, you feel uncomfortable, you know, you feel uncomfortable because you're facing your responsibility and your accountability for adding to the problem. I just feel like it's something that is so important, and like, I know so many people are going to relate to this. It's a horrible situation, and we should not need to be defending our right to be ill and have a disease, because people who have physical illnesses do not have to do this, and it's just all part of the stigma.
So thanks everyone for listening to episode 6 of For a Fat Girl. If you do want to listen to the bonus episode that is out on my Patreon, then be sure to subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/lovefromdanitsa for bonus episodes every week and weekly videos and cool body positive content as well. I do have an Instagram page for Fat Girl. It's where I upload like teaser episodes and stuff like that, and loads of other kind of like amazing fat liberation body positive people, and it's just like a really good inspiration account. So be sure to go and follow me at For Fat Girl Pod over on Instagram and at Love From Danitsa, which is like my own body positive account. So I really hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Can't wait to record next week's. And I will see you very soon. Bye, guys.